Overall, MedCurity is a HIPAA compliance platform. We have partnered with United Rheumatology to essentially be your HIPAA compliance resource. So United Rheumatology members receive a significant discount on our software and services so that you can remain HIPAA compliant. This is because we value and prioritize our independent rheumatologists just like United Rheumatology does. To introduce myself, my name is Ari Van Persum. I'm our Director of Business Development here at MedCurity, and I work closely with your practice relations managers and absolutely love supporting UR members with their HIPAA compliance needs. So I am your point of contact when you have questions about our software, as well as HIPAA in general. So this is our overview, our agenda. I'm going to just jump right in because we do have quite a bit. We're going to cover a lot of elements that at some point should have been addressed this year. So if they haven't, I'm going over what you should prioritize for the end of the year. It will be a lot of information, but we have a high-level checklist for you to go through and make sure you have those elements done. And please don't feel overwhelmed in terms of the amount of information that does need to get done. HIPAA is overwhelming, and we recognize that. So we want it to be reasonable to the bandwidth that you have. And so that's why we support in this, and I'll share more on how that works at the end. But to overview, we're going to start with the SRA, move to policies, some contingency plan testing in emergencies, go over business associates, the importance there, system audits, as well as training, and then lastly, breach submissions. So starting with that security risk analysis. If you've come to any webinar, you've probably heard us talk about this just because this is the baseline of HIPAA requirements and the foundation of what we support in as a company. So that's why we take the time to talk about it. In terms of what you're required to do for the end of the year, first and foremost, if you have not completed a security risk analysis in the year 2022, you should be doing so by December 31st. The first reason that it's tied to the calendar year is if you participate in MIPS and are submitting for the year, the security risk analysis is a very significant part of your promoting interoperability category. So keep that in mind. If you are checking that box when audits come around for MIPS, you will need to provide that report. So if you check the box and don't have an SRA, it's time to make sure you actually do have one in place. In terms of what your SRA needs to include for it to be a comprehensive and accurate one, it does need to happen annually for MIPS. Outside of MIPS, if you don't participate in it, the security rule, which defines HIPAA, says that you have to complete an SRA regularly. Regularly is a very subjective word. We recognize that. But in terms of what industry experts say, what the enforcement officials say, so the federal government even says that if you aren't doing this activity annually at a minimum, you should start doing so now. So even though the security rule does not state that, that's essentially what you're expected to do. Third party or self-assessed. The security rule, again, which defines HIPAA, does not say that you have to have a third party complete your SRA. You can do it on your own. The value of a third party, right, is a lot of the UR members I talk to are providers. And if you don't have an office manager to take this on, it's a lot. It can be a significant amount of time that you just don't have. So having a third party do it on your behalf can be really helpful and efficient. Your office manager also can be stretched really thin. I talk to a lot of practice administrators, practice managers, office managers that simply don't have time or the expertise to do this competently. So that's another reason to have a third party. However, the MedCurity software, which I will share more about at the end, if you haven't heard it, heard me talk about it before, haven't sat in on a demo, we created software that is educational at its core, and it guides you through completing a security risk analysis. So if you do have extra time to get this done or can prioritize some time, you can keep the costs lower, but our software does a lot of the work for you. So just keep that in mind when choosing between the two. Accurate and thorough means it's covering all the areas defined under HIPAA. Why this is an important piece is because we often have practices that kick their security risk analysis to their IT vendor, right? Because we're smaller practices, we need to outsource activities. It makes complete sense. Our IT vendors are so critical. I'm not discounting the work that they do at all. We need them, and the work that they do is valuable. However, their scope of work is technical. Their priority is technical security in your network. HIPAA has a large part in technical, but it branches beyond into physical, administrative, as well as privacy. So if your security risk analysis is being done by your IT vendor, it is your responsibility to have a copy of that report. So if you don't have one, I would go get one immediately, and to look through it. Make sure that the parameters being assessed cover the physical environment of your practice, cover your privacy policies, which essentially is your sanction policy, covering your administrative aspects, right? Your what does the onboarding or termination checklist look like? Do you have a process to shut off system access? If that's a policy with your IT vendor, are you communicating on that? All of those documentation details are going to be included in an SRA. So if yours is only covering technical aspects, it is not accurate and thorough. I want to make that a priority to state, because we've seen reports for the SRA be thrown out by the Office of Civil Rights. They are the enforcement arm of HHS, which is the who, if you have a breach, if you're being audited, they will be the ones to look at your report. So just know if it's a technical audit, it will not count as an SRA. Your SRA will be accurate and thorough also if it's evaluating your security and privacy policies. So if you don't have a policy set for security as well as privacy in-house, even if your IT vendor helps complete or fills out the security parts, you still need to have policies in-house accessible for your employees, because that is required under HIPAA. It's also required that they're reviewed regularly. So that's why if you tie the activity of the security risk analysis to the same time as policy review, getting them done at the same time, because they go hand in hand, is a more efficient way of going about this. That way you know what changes have been made in your practice and can update your policy appropriately. Identifying gaps, it's the entire purpose of an SRA. So making sure you know where improvement is needed. And then the last bullet leads into the risk management plan. So when we talk about the security risk analysis requirement under HIPAA, we have two parts to this. You have the actual assessment, which is everything I just talked through. And then the second part is the risk management plan. This piece is saying we are taking all of our identified gaps, all of the risks that were uncovered, and we are now creating a plan to improve on it next year. So what this looks like is, I'm going to skip that. What this looks like is that you are having an action item to every single area that needs to be addressed, as well as prioritizing the risk. It doesn't mean that you are remediating every single item that year. It means that you have established a plan, you have prioritized the risk, and you start making reasonable progress. So if you come out of this with 72 items that need attention, that's overwhelming. But keep in mind, if 5 of them are high priority, make those your plan for the following year and see what you can get done in the first 2 quarters. It doesn't need to be this overbearing task. That's what the Office of Civil Rights looks for, is for effort, reasonable and appropriate effort, as well as documentation. That's a really important piece too. So if you're doing this work but not documenting it, go write it down, capture it, because that's your proof. I won't spend much more time on the risk management plan, because this piece doesn't necessarily need to get done by the end of the year. It's more once you're ready to go in January, having that set up, ready to attach action and due dates for the rest of the year. So I'll move on from that, but the overall point for this first bullet, the security risk analysis piece, is if you haven't done it for the year, do it. If you think you've done one through your IT vendor, get a copy of that report and review it before the end of the year. And if there are gaps, you do need to get one done by a sufficient provider or tool or consultant. if you have more questions on this, please let me know. Moving on to privacy and security policies. So what you need to do by the end of the year for this one is you need to review them, right? I just mentioned it's a nice activity tied to your security risk analysis. They go hand in hand. The SRA is going to ask you questions about all of your policies and procedures with HIPAA. So you might as well be reading through and making sure that they're accurate and up to date and capturing what's actually happening in your environment. So what you're seeing in front of me or in front of you is how MedCurity captures all of your HIPAA standards in our policy set. So these different titles are all individual policies that we have on our platform. We've templated it out all of these. So essentially what implementing them would look like for you is answering a couple questions for each to essentially generate an accurate policy for your practice. So if you are seeing a title on here, there's a couple more that you don't have, it could make a lot of sense to work with MedCurity. Our policy module for United Rheumatology members is really inexpensive with the discount, and getting them in place could take you minutes, maybe an hour, depending on if you have the answers to all the questions. So just keep that in mind. It's really simple to fill these gaps. So if you are missing any of these, also the privacy policies, it's something that you should go through and read. I would say the main policies that I personally would focus on for this end of this year are more on the privacy side, because that's where a lot of the focus from the Office of Civil Rights has been recently, meaning right of access, patients, medical records, them getting their records after they've requested in a timely manner. I've talked about this on previous webinars, so I won't spend a ton of time on it. But the point being here, it takes one patient to complain to the Office of Civil Rights to essentially open an investigation against your practice. Whether the patient's in the right or in the wrong, the OCR will do their due diligence and ask you for your right of access policy. So that minimum necessary standard, that access to information, use and disclosure, all of these elements, they're going to ask for what your process is. And if you've documented this specific scenario that's being reported on. But if they see any missing elements, one, there's going to be a financial penalty around that. And two, it opens the door for them to ask about all of your other policies. So just keep that in mind. And that's what I would recommend focusing in on, is what policy captures right of access? Do you have a proper procedure? Have you captured the appropriate cost that's associated with your specific state, right? You can only charge so much for paper records in each state. So that's something to look up. And I guess another element of this, because it's getting more attention, is the social media policy. A lot of practices don't necessarily have a social media policy, but our MedCurity platform has one because it's becoming more relevant in terms of why we're seeing practices adopt social media technology, right? It's a better way to get your brand out there, to interact with your patients, to get better reviews, which generates more patient traffic. That's everyone's goal here. When you respond inappropriately on social media in terms of disclosing information you're not supposed to, you will be fined. The OCR monitors that. So having a policy that explicitly defines what employees can and cannot do so they can reference that is a documentation piece that you will be audited against. So you might as well set up employees for success. And then lastly, right, remote work. We've been transitioning between remote work and coming back into the office. So keep in mind, as those workflows continue to change, your policy is probably changing as well. So making updates to that could be important. So I would check that one as well. So all in all with policies, right, ensure that your policies completely cover all of the safeguards because of some misconceptions, which you can see here. It says, I can get by with templates you got from the internet. You very well could, but what we often see is that they aren't updated to reflect your actual environment. So I've seen policies that have other company names in it, other policy review dates, other procedures. Just because you can check the box and say, I have a policy does not mean it's a good one or that it's appropriate to your practice. So if you have done that, please read through it and edit it appropriately. The next one, you approved your policies 5 years ago. Review of your policies is so critical because so much can change in 1 year. I know everyone knows that. The last 3 years we've just lived is a testament to how much our world can change and shift. Now, while that's an extreme example, we all had to revise policies or add policies. So in terms of how often you should be reviewing them, we encourage annually with the security risk analysis activity. I think I've made my point there that it makes sense to do it, but just know you do have to approve and review your policies more regularly than you probably want to. The last one, you have a notice of privacy practices, and that's sufficient for your privacy policies. More often than not, it is insufficient, and that's because you don't have supporting workflows like we just talked about in social media, right of access, remote work, all of the documentation that's actually going to protect you in an audit. And it's required for you to have that documentation in place. So keep that in mind as you're reviewing policies by the end of the year, or as you're starting next year, if you've already done it this year, that's a good focus area. Back to what to focus on right now. Last but not least, if you want to check to make sure that your entire staff has access to the policies easily, a really easy way to check this is just go ask a couple random employees and say like, hey, can you go pull up the HIPAA policies for me? And if they don't know where the binder is, they don't know where it is on the shared drive, that's a problem. And you need to educate staff on it, or maybe move where the policies are hosted, because this is absolutely required under HIPAA. Having staff review them annually is best practice. It's not necessarily required under HIPAA, but just like why we do HIPAA training every year, why you're required to do that, same reason, right? We need to review the content. So if they don't know the process or the procedure behind one of your policies for right of access, let's say, then they could make a mistake. And having them sign off on them has more to do on the defensive side for you as a practice or as a provider and owner, because then you're able to say like, hey, there are sanctions attached to this. So once you sign off, you say that you understand and you won't make a mistake. But if you do, there's these types of consequences. So that's more of a business owner side of that. And then we've talked about updating and revising policies. And then if you have a large enough team to have designated people to develop and review policies, that is also helpful. Okay, this next part is probably the most overwhelming out of everything. So in order to make it straightforward and simple to the point, HIPAA requires that you have emergency plans. If there's a natural disaster, if you have a breach, if there's a fire, right? If there's some reason why you all of a sudden cannot treat patients or that you've lost your data, all of these elements, I've put all the standards that reference back to the actual security rule, are required. So while creating these, if you don't have these documents, it can be a lot of work. I will just say that up front. So if you don't even have these documents, I would prioritize getting one in place. The value of partnering with an organization like MedCurity on this is we have templates to speed up that process and help you know what even needs to be included. So that's the first part. If you do have this in place, you need to test them. You're required to be testing them, and best practice is to test this really regularly. But what we encourage, if you just don't have the bandwidth for it, is to make sure that you test your entire plan at least once a year. And that's actually running through your data backup, recovering your data, turning off your systems. If you know how to treat patients on paper, do you have a good transition? All of those details. Business associate agreements. We often always spend time on this one because there's been a shift in the environment where bad actors, so ransomware attacks, are being focused on business associates because they have access to your systems and to your PHI. So they're realizing it actually might be an easier gateway to get to you. So that makes your contracts with these entities that much more important. So what you need to do by the end of the year is, one, you're required to have a master list of all of your business associates. So if you don't have one, I would create one. It should be relatively straightforward based on all the contracts that you have. And then I would make sure you're reviewing those agreements annually. Once again, that's a best practice. If your relationship with that business associate is pretty concrete, will not be changing, you can change that cadence to what makes sense up to 3 years. However, if you're adding more access to a certain business associate, or if you are taking away access, you do need to update your agreement to reflect what kind of system access that they do have, because that's what's going to defend and cover you if there is a breach, because you've defined it. So reviewing any agreements, if you haven't reviewed in the past 2-3 years, I would definitely do that as soon as you can. System access has to do with employee credentials and shutting those off, whether that has to do with your EHR, your Wi-Fi, emails, network. So if you work with an IT vendor, this is something to get regular reports from them on. Your checklist in terms of onboarding and termination gets really important here to make sure we're cutting off system access. So a best practice end of each year is to just run through your entire system access log with your IT vendor or internal IT to make sure that anyone who is not there should not have access anymore, that there's no login credentials that are unnecessarily active. And lastly, because I talked about the second to last, HIPAA compliance for your business associate. They, ever since 2013 in the High Tech Act, business associates are now required to comply with HIPAA in the same exact ways that you are as a covered entity. So it is within your right, if you're doing business with them, to ask for proof that they're doing their HIPAA compliance activities. Now, while most business associates aren't just going to hand over their whole report to you, as you probably wouldn't with them, you can ask them for some sort of attestation that they've done HIPAA training, have updated their policies, have conducted an SRA, that kind of proof, because then you have written attestation from the business associate that it's happened. So if you ever have a conflict or have an issue, then you have that proof. So just keep that in mind. If you haven't ever asked them for it, when you're making that master list of business associates, it could be something to track and ask for. So overall, with business associates, it's something to take seriously. I know it feels like an additional responsibility, as just HIPAA in general does, but it is an important topic right now, and we're seeing more penalties and breaches through business associates these days. So it makes sense to give it attention. System audits. I'm going to dig into this one a little bit more. We talked about information system activity, which is how your employees are interacting on your information systems, but you will have policies that define how often you're reviewing the overall activity, right? So that's going to be checking inappropriate access to systems that are outside the scope of employees, or it's going to look at overactivity. So is there someone trying to break into your accounts? This piece is really important. Back to that IT vendor, right? A lot does fall on the IT vendor that we want to make sure they're doing these reviews and documenting that they're happening. Chart audits. This is on the privacy side, right? And we talk about minimum necessary. We want to make sure that our employees are only accessing the information that they need in order to do their job, what's in within their scope of work. So what should be defined in your policy, and if it's not, this is something to add, is the sample size that you're going to audit. There are automation tools out there that will audit all of your charts with algorithms to do that. That can get pricey, so that's not usually realistic for smaller groups like independent rheumatologists. So what you can do to comply with this piece is to take 40 records every month or every quarter and just manually go through and make sure the activity looks normal. Things to really be looking for on this, right, is some simple things that to start with are checking to see if employees are looking up other people with the same last name. if they're looking for people with the same birthday, if you've seen any high profile individuals, if they're looking at those records, family members is another big one. So those are some pretty simple ways to start looking at access to information. Network access, once again, back to your IT vendor, they want to make sure that any VPNs, any access, remote access to your systems, is shut off if it's unnecessary, right? So if an employee doesn't work there anymore, but the VPN is still open for that credential, you need to shut that off. So that kind of review needs to be happening. And if it hasn't been done this year, definitely make sure it happens by the end of the year. User account activity. I mentioned this earlier, right? Is there an account that's overactive that seems suspicious? Those are things we just want to pay attention to. And lastly, you can see I've put it down there three times because it's important. Documentation is everything. You can be doing all of this, but if you aren't documenting that it's happening and you're audited, you will have no proof. And unfortunately, the Office of Civil Rights does not just take people's words. So make sure we're documenting that you are doing system activity reviews, the date, what you looked for, what you found. Pretty simple information. This one's really straightforward. I would say this is the most widely understood aspect of HIPAA, is that we need to train our employees upon hire as well as annually. So if you have not trained your employees on HIPAA compliance this year, please get it done by the end of the year. Documentation, once again, is everything. So you need to prove that the campaign or the course was completed and that it was 100% completed by all employees, yourself included. Other training tips to keep in mind, right, is if there's any changes to your practice, like if you change location, if you change the technology or maybe a workflow, it's important to educate employees on what has changed as well. This is going to create a culture of compliance. Okay, so I wanted to take a minute to just, from a high level, talk about why all this is important and why we're saying it needs to get done, is because if you have a breach when you're audited, these are the elements that are going to be asked for by the Office of Civil Rights. We've seen their letters that get sent out, so we know that they're looking for enterprise-wide security risk analysis. Next to that, you can see sometimes they request the last five. That means that regular cadence of completing it becomes that much more important. Enterprise-wide is a key phrase here, right? Because it needs to be covering not just technical, it needs to be covering administrative and physical as well. Then under that, you can see policies and procedures highlighted. You can see that highlighted throughout. Policies and procedures are everything. So if you haven't reviewed them and they're not accurate to what's happening, they will fall flat in an audit. A risk management plan, you see that in there too. Now, while this isn't your highest priority for the end of the year, it is still required, and they're going to want to see the plan that you have in place based on the risk that you have. And then at the very end, you'll see training program highlighted. So that is important as well. Last but not least, in terms of tasks before the end of the year, we've got breach reporting. So the actual law states that you are required to notify the secretary depending on how many records were breached. So if there's a privacy breach or an issue, I would say majority of the time they're one-offs. So maybe a couple records were sent to the wrong person, or that is a breach. So you do need to be tracking those instances. In terms of when you're required to report, if the breach affects over 500 individuals, you are required to notify the secretary without unreasonable delay. So as soon as possible, but if it takes you longer than 60 days, that will definitely include a financial penalty. However, if the breach affects less than 500 individuals, meaning if you have those one-offs, you have to report them on an annual basis. So that means you can have a log of all of these breaches throughout the year that were under 500 records or people, and not worry about reporting them until the end of the year. So with that being said, If you've had any type of breach or incident throughout the year, now is the time to start reporting them to the OCR. I have included the link here, which the slides will definitely be sent out after this, so don't worry about that. That's something that you'll also need to pay attention to for the end of the year. Now, I 100% recognize that this is a lot of information and that you are already stretched thin. I've been recently was at the United Rheumatology Fall Conference in New Orleans and have talked to plenty of you, sat in on sessions to know that there is enough on your plate and then some. So what I want to encourage you in is that we developed MedCurity because we know that. So while I'm taking the time to educate you on everything that HIPAA is and what you need to get done, we developed MedCurity to essentially simplify all of that down into a succinct platform. I know you've probably seen my name and that Emily sent out emails before, but here I am to explain why we're trying to stay in front of you all year long is because it is a lot of work and our platform helps you stay on top of it and simplifies it down. That includes the security risk analysis, all of your policies for HIPAA, managing your business associate agreements, having a training program, and know that you are supported by our team all year long, unlimited. So what that really means and what that looks like, I'm happy to do a demo for anyone who's interested off this webinar, but what I want to quickly show you is what it looks like. So we have every question that's expected under HIPAA in our security risk analysis for you to go through and answer. We have information buttons that further explain every question if you don't understand. We also have a chat box at the bottom right of our screen. So if you just need to ask a question while you're walking through it, let us know and we'll get you an answer. And then once your SRA is done, our dashboard transforms into your risk management plan. So, right, I mentioned that is just as much required as your SRA, and our technology creates one for you. So it takes a huge burden off your plate. So when I talk about simplifying HIPAA, this is what I mean. So you can see here's an example, right? If you don't have a policy program, it's gonna say you need to establish one and you will have our entire policy library to get it in place quickly, which looks like this. You're gonna see a couple of our templates. You'll probably notice the titles from my previous slides, but this is what the template's gonna look like. Your company name's gonna be inputted in here and you're gonna be able to review and have date stamps that that activity's happening every year. You can easily manage your business associates. You can upload existing ones in here or you can use the template to send and get one signed. So if you don't have a business associate signed contract, you can use this to immediately get one in place because there's an electronic signature function. This is a nice view of all your risks. So if you have to report your risk to anyone, just know that you have a high level visual to do that. Then lastly, we have our HIPAA training course, which is sent out to all your employees, email that you'll send to us, and then they'll start at the inception of HIPAA and then work their way through some scenario-based questions, understand HIPAA pertaining to their role, as well as some videos to keep it engaging, and then a test at the end that they do have to pass. Then they'll be administered a certificate of completion. And then you will be able to track the data on the back end to make sure that everyone has completed it. So it's a simple way to stay on top of that. Lastly, just before I wrap up here, know that we also have third-party services. So if you don't have time and can have a little bit more room in your budget to include our experts on staff to remotely do this for you, we are happy to talk through all of that. So my contact information is here as if you have questions about it, but your practice relations manager, Deb, Liz, or Emily, also has all this information. So reach out to any of us and we will get you covered, especially if you haven't completed your SRA or have policies by the end of the year. So with that, I'm going to just pause for a moment with questions. So if you have questions, feel free to send them in the chat. Otherwise, you're welcome to hop off and we can connect offline. if that's needed. Thanks so much for joining. I know it's a lot of information.